We are beginning a series talking about the hidden life of prayer. Last week we had our introduction to it, the importance of prayer, not the standing before crowds and praying, but that hidden closet work of prayer that Jesus Christ commanded, and that we really don't know about prayer until we on our own go to that quiet place and spend time in prayer with Him. If all you pray is when you're with folks for your meal, when you're with folks for something or other, leading in prayer at church, if that's all you know, then you don't really know prayer. Prayer is talking to God, and Christ wanted it to be that place in the quietness of your own heart. Tonight we want to talk about the equipment for the inner life of prayer. And what that will mean is that you need, first of all, a quiet place. A quiet place. Now, comes down to it, we pray wherever we are, but if we have the choice, let us choose a quiet place. Let me give you four thoughts. First of all, the ideal is a room in the home. This is a room that's not, doesn't have a TV on. This is a room where you're not listening to the radio. It's a room where you're not necessarily looking outside and seeing the children play or something like this. This is a secluded place. So turn off the television, the radio, the stereo, and the telephone. You turn them off. You say, the telephone? Yes. If you were having a very important meeting with someone, you would say, hold my calls. Make this an important meeting with the Lord. Second would be to find a corner in a large room. If you don't have a special room that you can go to, a quiet room, separate room, go to your common room and designate a corner, a place where you can sit, be comfortable, and think. So you may need to concentrate to eliminate the busy sounds of the room, but you let the others in the house know that you are going to your quiet place, which just happens to be the corner of this larger room. The third thought is this: escape to the outside. It may be that, not in a blizzard or something like this, but a terrible rainstorm, but escape to the outside. Take a walk, find a pleasant place to sit or kneel, and commune with God. This has been done so many times by so many people. I remember went to his ancestral home in Switzerland and would go out and walk the mountains. Spending time outside with the Lord. And then when all else fails and you can't do any of that, escape to the inner mind. Go to your happy place in your thinking. And the concept of concentric circles. You concentrate to the center, and you let the outer circle go. You don't pay any attention to it, and then the next outer circle, it goes away, and then the closer things, they go away, until finally, it's just you, with your words, with your thoughts before the Lord. When you can find no physical quiet place, create an isolated place in your head. Close your eyes to the world. You may not be able to actually close your physical eyes for danger or whatever, but you can close your eyes to the world. Close your ears to the world, your smell to the world, your taste to the world. Close it off. So a quiet place is the equipment for an inner life of prayer. But then, You need a quiet hour, let's call it. Hour less than a day, maybe more than a minute. The ideal is to have unrestricted time, to be able to go to God in prayer without a limit imposed upon you. It would be well to be able to pray until you are finished. If you cannot do this every day, then find a Saturday or Sunday when you're not working, when you have limited responsibilities. Lacking that, find 3 to 4 hours for prayer after supper, before you would go to sleep, before you would go to bed. Say 3 or 4 hours. Well, when you try to accomplish everything that you would like to accomplish in prayer, to pray for every person, every missionary, every relative, every person of your immediate family, you want to take them before the Lord in prayer. How long will it take? The ideal is to have an unrestricted amount of time. But perhaps you can set aside an hour for prayer. Now, schedule this with an alarm if necessary. I dare not take more than an hour. Set your alarm for an hour. Learn to discipline your prayer with a list. Practice until you can meet all your goals in that 1 hour. You may schedule an hour nearly every day. You can do this by rising an hour earlier than necessary for leaving for work or school. You could set aside an hour before going to bed. You could find an hour in the middle of the day for prayer instead of lunch. You would learn to experience prayer and fasting and prayer. And then, lacking that, C, grab any free time to get alone and speak to God in urgent prayer. Turn a corner, stand in an area where nobody is walking by, and just get that prayer out. So, a quiet hour, a quiet time. Then, as you go to prayer, you need 3, a quiet heart. A busy heart, distracted heart, not going to work for a time of prayer. You need a quiet heart. So bring your heart into complete and respectful peace. You do this before you start praying, or make it the practice of how you begin praying. Here's an important thought. If you keep a daily schedule of prayer, that is, if you go to prayer at the same time every day, you'll find that just by the practice of it, by the habit of it, your heart already begins to be prepared for quiet prayer. This is what I do at this time. But the essential part is to have the mind able to focus completely on what you pray. I have been there where I have prayed, and then as I've continued to talk, I drifted off and I wondered where I stopped praying. I was just thinking of something else. The great English poet John Donne talks about how strange it was to go to God Almighty in prayer and be distracted by a fly buzzing on the wall. A fly. You know, the contemplationists of the Middle Ages began with a time of silence to teach them what their lips should utter and what their hearts should expect. And it was Robert Murray McShane, great missionary and prayer warrior, that said he spent much of his prayer time in preparing to pray. The second thought is this: bring your heart into prayerful submission. You're not there to tell God what to do. You are there to bring your heart into prayerful submission. Dr. David McIntyre, who wrote the book that spurred this, said, "Performing these three simple acts of faith will bring your heart into prayerful submission." Number one, recognize your acceptance before God, that you are accepted by God when you come before Him. Consider the power of the blood of Christ in the sight of the Father. Consider the completeness of the sacrifice Christ made for you. Consider that you enter the presence of the Father, but you do so in the person of the Son. When you go before God, God is looking at you and He sees His Son. You are as welcome as He. Listen to the thinking in Hebrews 10:19-23. "Having therefore, brethren," fellow Christians, "boldness," and the word can mean liberty, "to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ." Now the holiest is that holy place, holiest place, the holy of holies in the tabernacle, in the temple. And only the high priest was allowed to go there. But that was where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that was the representation of God's presence. So he says, we have then boldness, a liberty to enter into that place. We do. And we do that not by the old way of passing through the veil, but by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated or made new for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. While Christ's flesh was being torn on the cross, that veil was torn in half from the top to the bottom. It is the tearing of his flesh, the death of Christ, that actually opened the way for us. And that's what he's saying. We have that liberty to enter by a new and living way, that is through the veil, which is to say his flesh. "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart," notice in this, "in full assurance of faith." You have that full assurance that it's okay for you to be there before the very presence of God. In the Old Testament, if you were a high priest and you weren't ready and you went before God in that, he could strike you dead and would. But we can enter with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. He would go in there and sprinkle the area with blood. Our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So since all of that is true, number 23, let us hold fast, hold tight, the profession of our faith without wavering, without doubting. For he is faithful that promised. Am I faithful? Not always, but he is. And it is on him that we're counting for our salvation and our acceptance. So number one, recognize your acceptance before God. This can bring a peaceful submission to your heart as you go to talk to him. Then secondly, acknowledge your enabling by the grace of God. Who is sufficient to this? The Apostle Paul asks, to be a minister of God's grace, to be the one who tells people how to live their life and how to get saved. Who's sufficient for this? Well, God is sufficient and he enables us. This is what grace does. Grace is his work of enabling. So, are you everything that you ought to be when you're ready to go to prayer? I'm going to say no, probably not. But as you go to prayer, God can enable you. I want you to consider the very personal work of the Holy Spirit within you. Consider that you have no spiritual power aside from the grace of God. So then, pray for God to teach you, to teach your heart of his grace. Let your heart feel, come to feel, that you have been made able to speak even before the throne of God. And then finally, to bring your heart into prayerful submission, begin your prayer with the words and concepts of Scripture. You know you're on safe ground when you are telling God His words. We were listening to Jacob pray, and he went right back to the promises that God had given him. He knew he was on sure ground. Your feelings, as you go to prayer, especially when you're burdened about something, may be chaotic. But the Scripture is steady. You can count on that, you see. Your heart may be confused, but the Scripture is clear and simple. And then focus your frantic mind with the Bible's positive statements. Somewhere along the psalm full of the most tumult, sadness, grief, complaint, changes somewhere along the way, saying, I turn to God, and God is hearing me. And that heart, that frantic heart, calmed down. Look to those positive statements. When I speak, the Lord will hear me. That's His promise, and it's a promise to you. So the equipment for the inner life of prayer, the quiet place, the quiet hour, and a quiet heart. Let's bring up some thoughts to share out of your practice or your history. Been a number of times I've mentioned this before when I was just in a turmoil, and I knew I needed to go to God in prayer, but I didn't know what to say. So sometimes I would just kneel at my bedside, lay my head on the bed, imagining that I was laying my head against the very breast of God, not knowing what to say, just letting myself calm down, letting my thoughts straighten out, knowing that I was within the arms of the one who loved me and gave His Son for me. And then I could begin to speak. When I would begin, I would start thanking Him for all the requests that I had made that He had answered. And pretty soon I found I was on solid ground to start talking to Him about His will being done and the problems that I was having. Good to learn these things, and pretty much the only way to learn them is by doing it. You can have a lesson like this, but unless you're trying it, it's not working.